My name's Mike Rowe, and this is my job.
I explore the country looking for people who aren't afraid to get dirty.
Okay, Chris.
Yeah, that's actually great.
Actually great.
Hardworking men and women who earn an honest living.
Ready?
I'm ready.
Doing the kinds of jobs that make civilized life possible for the rest of us.
Why didn't you just tell me right from the start what a pain in the neck this was?
Now, get ready.
Oh
dear. To get dirty.
Coming up on Dirty Jobs.
You mind if I work with the hose here?
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you.
I get hosed in a major way.
There you go.
Got it. Good, good.
As I distill the truth.
Yeah, tastes pretty good.
Got a wang to it.
About making the classic alcoholic beverage, rum.
Ho, 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 and a bottle of.
Oh, there you close it. Perfect.
It's the official drink of Lawless Pirates. Oh! And Dirty Pirates, too.
Oh, God.
We're supposed to be out on a boat right now. Newport, Rhode Island. It's a nice place, but the nor'easter's coming down, clouds, the rain. It's not going to work out for us, so the crew and I need to find a place to hole up for a while. A port in a storm, if you will. The question is, where can we go at 8 o'clock in the morning to take our refuge? Oh, that might work. Howdy.
Hey.
What's up? It looks like a bar.
It is. It's a tasting counter.
Nice
counter. Sampling.
I'm Mike.
I'm Brent.
You're Brent?
Derek.
Derek. And you two own... Where exactly am I? Is it Captain Two's or is it Newport Storm?
Well, it's actually Coastal Extreme Brewing and Newport Distilling Company. And we make two things here. We make Newport Storm beer and we make Thomas Two rum.
And Thomas Two, he was a famous sort of buccaneer or something, wasn't he?
Right, he was the Rhode Island pirate. He was actually the second wealthiest pirate of all time.
Does that mean, so he was the seventh biggest? Second?
Second, number two.
Who was number one?
Who cares?
That's a good point. Yeah. Always a bridesmaid. All right, so you brew beer and you distill rum.
Correct.
Here in Newport. And behind that glass is that is the distillery. Is that for the beer or is that for the rum?
Those are the fermentation tanks for the beer, and the distillery is on the other side.
Yeah, I've done beer before on this show, but never rum. So
one of the neat things about the fact that we're brewing a distillery is that those same tanks that we ferment out our beer in is the same thing that we use to ferment out the molasses in that we're going to use to make our rum. So there's a synergy between the two operations, which is one of the reasons why we have a brewery and a distillery.
Synergy. It's like a Wall Street word, isn't it?
Yeah, right, I guess so.
All right, so I want to say a couple things to you guys before we get started. You're at a brewery and distillery, and one of the traditions in a brewery and distillery is that you get to drink beer while you work.
So I'm going to show you this once, and then you guys, when you want to do it, you have to do it yourself.
The tradition of giving brewery workers unlimited free beer is called the Sternworth Privilege, and it's been around for hundreds of years. So today, in the interest of not violating this sacred custom, crew and I may occasionally take a sip or two of beer, but I can assure you it will not affect the quality of the show.
Oh! Now that I think it through, this whole little experiment could be... Well, in the interest of shooting a show, then, take us back there to where the work is and let's begin.
All right.
Today, the work will focus on distilling some high-quality Thomas II rum.
So this is where it all happens.
This is where it happens. So this is our still. It's a 105-gallon pot still.
Wow. How old is this thing?
It's 4 years old. We got it when we just started distilling.
Really?
So, yeah. Why, does it look beat up?
It just looks like it's, you know, circa, I don't know, last century.
Oh, right, yeah. Well, so the design is very traditional. In fact, like a lot of the Scotch whiskey distillers are using stills that were made over 100 years ago. And it's not because they're too cheap to buy new stills. It's because that design imparts a certain flavor into the spirit. And so our still that we use here is a traditional pot still, but it really, you know, does a great job of making the rum that we want to make here and make it authentic.
How does it work?
Right, so distillation works on the principle that ethanol boils at a lower temperature in the water. So what we do is we take our fermented wash, put it into the still, and then what we're going to do is heat it up. And the idea is that the ethanol will boil off and vaporize before the water, and so you end up with a much more highly concentrated alcohol vapor working its way up through the column and then over to the right-hand side where it condenses down into liquid form, which is the spirit.
Comes out ultimately down here?
Ultimately comes out down here. It's going to fill up this thing. We have these little alcohol meters that tells us how strong it is, and then it comes into this out this spigot, and then we fill up these containers right here with our raw spirit. So the first thing we're going to do is hook up some hoses and get our distillation going.
Let's hook up a hose.
All right, my man.
Where's the beer?
Where'd the beer go?
Well, just keep them handy, you know.
I'll have one. Can I have one? Thanks.
All right, hoses.
Follow me.
Through these red hoses, we'll be pumping the fermented molasses out of this stainless steel tank.
Yeah, all right, so we're looking good.
And into our copper still.
Oh, there we go. So the wash is starting to come in right now.
The fermented molasses is called the wash, and it contains about 6% alcohol.
The next thing we got to do is we got to measure out some what's called anti-foam. It basically prevents foaming inside here.
When the molasses wash boils, it can foam up and make the distillation more difficult.
What is it, this anti-foam?
It's a chemical that breaks the surface tension of bubbles.
Good.
Dump it in. So, you can see we're filling up there.
Yeah.
Oh, now we're getting air through there. So we're going to close this.
The fermenting tank is almost empty, but there's still some good alcohol-rich molasses sticking to the inside walls. So we'll wash it out with water.
Can you send that over?
What do you need sent?
Oh, he's going to send some water. Can you send some water to rinse out the rest of the wash there?
Who's that guy?
So that's Adam. That's one of our others. So Adam and I are the two that do the distilling here. I am the head distiller, and Adam's the assistant distiller.
Mike.
I'm Adam.
How are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm fine. You mind if I work with the hose here?
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you.
To rinse the remaining molasses off the sides of the tank, we're sending water through this hose up to a spray ball that hangs inside the fermenting tank.
All right. So now water's going into the top. You're washing all of the stuff off the sides. There's still some CO2 and some wash in there.
That's right.
This whole water thing is just pushing it further and further toward the bottom so it can be sucked out of here more efficaciously.
That's correct. Excellent. So now that the water stopped there, so we're going to disconnect here.
Yep.
But I will warn you, there's water in that pipe, so it's going to be coming down.
Fair warning.
There you go.
Good, good, good.
Now we'll send the rest of the molasses wash from the fermenting tank into the still.
Here we go. Perfect. All right, so we're going to fill this. We're going to fill this the rest of the way to about here, and then
115 gallons.
105. And then once we've filled it up, then we will turn the steam on. Oh, there you close it. Perfect. So close up this door. So make sure that gasket is seated. Looks like it's pretty well seated. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to check the boiler.
Yes.
So this is our steam boiler. It gives us our pressure. So we're at 13 to 15.
13, 15 what?
PSI, pounds per square inch.
Okay.
So now that we know that it's up to pressure, what we'll do is open up the steam valves on the still and get the distillation started.
So the next job, again, and I don't want to, you know, make it too simple, but I have to go out there now and flip another lever.
Yeah.
Right.
So you're going to start with a small one?
Naturally, you want to work your way up.
Right, exactly, right.
I just need just a quick little something.
The crew and I put the age-old Sternworth privilege to the test. And what do you know? It works. Free beer for everyone.
So what we'll do is open up the small one first. Go ahead and crank it. It's coming alive.
Oh, it gets hot immediately.
Oh, yeah?
Hot immediately.
Yeah, yeah. You might not want to touch that anymore.
I don't. I don't want to do that. In fact, you know what? To get the pain,
painkiller,
I just need that's it. Mostly, I just need the coolness on my hand now. But as long as I'm holding it, I mean, what's the point in being rude? Thank you. All right, so that's enough?
No, keep going. Keep open. You're going to open that one all the way.
Okay, that's all the way open.
Now we're going to open this one up until you get to that red line.
All right, well, just let me take a rest for a second.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a certain cramping, thank you, throughout my whole right arm now.
Coming up, the hardworking pirate in me fights to get the job done.
What I'm going to do now is...
take a break, I would think. Just rest up?
No, I think we've been resting enough. Now we're going to start to work a little bit more.
Okay.
Unfortunately, some people around here just want to goof off on the job.
Is that anywhere? All right, I'm ready to turn this next one.
All right, open it up, and like I said, just do it a little slower, and once it gets to that red line, you're good. All right, all right, pay attention here. We're past the red line here.
Yeah, is that right. Bad?
Yeah, yeah. You know, we're basically letting too much steam pressure into the jacket right now.
So there's going to be an explosion?
Keep closing it down.
Close it
there
down.
There we go, now you're getting there.
There have been four valves. Well, I've turned these twice now. And this whole thing needed to be closed, so I think maybe it's time just to sit down and, wet the whistle.
Right, so now that this is heating up, this is a bit of a waiting game right now.
But while we wait, there's more grueling work to be done.
All right, so yeah, let's disconnect this thing. There's probably going to be little drips coming out of there, so, you know, not as much as the water.
Dang it, this is going to... Oh!
There we go. So what we're going to do with that now is, Adam, why don't you have him hook it up to the water, rinse it out.
That's exhausting.
So now we're going to run some water through this line to get any of that leftover solids that were left over behind from the big stainless steel thing.
Stainless steel. What do you call it again?
Well, that's our bright tank, but it's just a tank for fermentation.
Bright tank?
Bright tank, yeah.
Like bright?
Bright. Like bright.
It's very bright. Nice. Why do they call it that?
Probably because when you do our beer stuff, we'll do it in there because it helps get that beer nice and bright and clear and looks good.
Now, isn't it true that you just made all of that up, Adam?
I just made that up.
Isn't it true that really Samuel Bright invented that?
Yeah.
Back in 1794, I think?
Yeah, it is.
Not a lot of people know it, but he was related, Sam Bright was, to Thomas II.
You made that up.
That's true. But as long as we're lying to each other, which one was more interesting?
Yours was. But mine was more practical. Common sense.
People hear practicality on TV these days, they turn the channel. When they hear a vague reference to a pirate, even though they know they're being lied to,
yeah,
they say things like, honey, get in here. He's making crap up about a pirate. Oh, that's very trusting.
So we got a nice bubble going on there, and we are starting to collect spirit. It's coming right out of there. So right now we got to grab one of these containers. So grab any one of those empty containers.
How do you know they're empty?
These are all empty ones. You don't have a cap on them. Yep.
Yep.
That one works perfect. Grab that funnel. Oh, no, you're going to slide it out because it's going to come out this spigot.
Oh, it's coming out of the spigot. Look at that.
Yeah,
just in the nick of time, man.
Right. We just got it there. Right. We were screwing around a little bit, but that's all right.
But the timing was perfect.
It was. So like I said before, the ethanol is boiling off first. And so what we've got right now is about an 83% alcohol liquid coming
that's
out.
That's what we've been sipping, the rum.
Well, not necessarily. This is the rough spirit. So this is a spirit before it's gone through the second distillation. So if you just stick your finger in there,
uh-huh,
you can taste what we got. So a little sweetness, you know, tastes pretty good.
It's got a wang to it.
We start at a high level, and then we're going to finish at around 25% alcohol. So it really drops throughout the day, mm-hmm, or throughout the, 2 hours of distilling.
When we're done, this first distillation will average 55% alcohol.
Oh, fantastic. Hey, I really love having somebody work with me, man. It's great.
All right.
So what I'm going to do now is...
Take a break. You're going to just rest up?
No, I think we've been resting enough. Now we're going to start to work a little bit more.
Okay.
While the distillation continues for the next hour or two, I'll be helping Derek with the first step of making rum, fermentation.
So why don't you take that bucket and just toss it on the floor? We've sloped the floors for you, so anywhere you go.
This just goes anywhere?
That just goes anywhere.
Anywhere at all?
Anywhere at all.
Is that anywhere?
So basically what's going to happen is we're going to have to add about 12 to 13 buckets full of yeast through that manway door.
Yes.
And then we'll gear pump in the molasses.
Yep.
And then we'll bring the filtered water in. You ever seen yeast before?
Yes. Oh, man. Boy, have I seen yeast.
So, don't be afraid.
To what?
Try it out.
Taste the yeast?
Taste the yeast, man.
It's not unpleasant.
It's not unpleasant.
No.
You can actually make bread with it if you want. All right, so now you pick up that bucket. We're going to do this 12 times.
And dump it in the manway.
Dump it in the manway. Want me to hand it up to you?
Yeah.
Derek tells me that yeast cells are living, growing microorganisms.
If you put the bucket in there, you're going in after it, and that's not going to be fun.
No. Not going in. Thank you.
When we're done here, there'll be approximately 22 million yeast cells per milliliter of molasses.
This process is called pitching. Pitch it like you've never pitched before.
Derek Luke, batting third.
Thanks. Oh, jeez.
Just my hand. No worries.
Sorry about that.
Hey, no problem. So that'll probably fill it up. So now while you're there, we'll seal it up.
Yep.
So the yeast was safely locked inside the fermenter. But it was a mystery to me as to how we were going to get the alcohol out of it. Until I attended Adam's quiz show.
What is alcohol made from?
Don't tell me. It depends on the type of alcohol.
Right, but in the most vague sense, what is alcohol made from?
Dreams.
Is it made from dreams, or does it make dreams?
No. I mean, no rose by any other name. Alcohol is made from, are we talking about rum or beer?
We're talking about alcohol.
Uh-oh.
And we can break it down even more.
So many things. Okay, alcohol in the most basic sense is made from, most basic sense, water.
Not quite. What do yeast? Yeast is a living organism. Yeast has to eat something.
Yes.
What does yeast eat?
Yeast eats protein.
No.
No, what? Why no? Yeast eats, dairy products?
No.
Bacon?
No.
What would...
You want me to tell you? Sugar.
Yeast eats sugar on a fundamental level, yeah.
On a fundamental level.
Obviously.
Yeast eats sugar.
I didn't realize we were that fundamental.
I know I should have said that, but I didn't. So, and then there's two byproducts from that. That's a lot.
CO2. And love.
Love, yes. Love / alcohol.
Ethyl alcohol and CO2.
Are the
byproducts of hungry yeast consuming a source of sugar.
And what is that process called?
Fermentation.
There you go.
I like being quizzed.
So, that's how you make alcohol, but you gotta have your sugar source. So when we make rum, our sugar source is?
That's molasses.
There you go.
Coming up, I go for the gold in the first annual Pallet Jack competition.
Oh, no, crooked.
Will the Dirty Jobs team savor the sweet smell of success?
That's sweet.
Yeah, it is.
Or get completely hosed?
Yeah, that's going to be hot when it's flashed
on. Yeah. Oh, super hot.
Yeah.
All right, so this is our molasses right here. What we need to do is we need to get this in position. So the way we do it is 3,000. Yeah.
You grab that.
Yeah, good luck with that. 3,000 pounds. So I know I can't lift it.
We're going to need something like
that. So the jack goes underneath it, and then we jack it up, and then we're going to bring it in position. Yeah, no, you're going to want to ram it in there.
Don't ram it.
There you go.
Is
that far enough?
I'd get in a little further.
A little bit further.
You got to slide it in a little further.
It's really hard to get it in. Honestly, at this point, we laugh at a red brick. What difference does it make? All right. Oh, no, crooked. It's really hard. This is a very tricky thing to steer.
Yeah, I moved around all day yesterday.
I mean, ran all day yesterday. I'm exactly.
Oh, crap, I hit the edge. I'm going to get it.
It's easier if you just hold the handle all the way up.
Yeah. Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, that feels very helpful. God! That's not good. So it should really be in further than that?
Yeah, here, let me Let me take a whack at it.
Take a whack.
Take it away.
I believe it was elevated.
Tricky, huh?
It's a ton and a half of molasses, huh?
Yep, 3,000 pounds.
This molasses moves slow.
Yeah. I don't think it has to do with the molasses.
Molasses is the dark, sticky byproduct of sugar production. It's what's left over after sugarcane juice is boiled and crystallized sugar is extracted. Molasses is over 50% sugar, but it also contains significant amounts of minerals and other trace elements, which contribute to the final flavor of the rum.
All right. Right here you can drop it.
Woo! I am bushed.
Excellent. Go ahead and take it off. Perfect. Take a look. You can get a whiff of that. Yeah, just...
That's sweet.
Yeah, it is.
And it's so thick and sticky, we need to use this gear pump to get the molasses out of the shipping container and into the fermenter.
You can actually even already see it starting to move. See that little, almost like a little level there?
I see it. This is going to fill up beyond that, right?
Correct.
It'll go all the way up toward the top.
That's correct. But we're going to get a lot of good rum from that, right?
Ho, 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 and a bottle of. You know who wrote that? Where that came from?
I don't know. Who wrote that?
I'm not sure.
Bruce Hornsby? All right, so if you recall, when we were over here before, in the beginning of the distillation, this was reading about 85%.
Yes.
It's dropped down to, about 20%.
Whoa.
So stick your finger in there and taste that.
Nearly as boozy.
Yeah. Watered down. Not really as tasty.
Disappointing.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Don't care for that.
So now it's time to stop using energy and wasting time. We want to shut the distillation down.
Yep.
We've actually collected almost three of these containers now. This is the first one we collected, then this is the second one, and this is the third one. You'll hear it pull back.
We're stopping the distillation since most of the alcohol from the molasses wash has been extracted. The small amount of alcohol that remains in the wash is just not cost-effective to distill.
You know, we started up around here.
Yes.
The fact that we're lower means that that's the alcohol that we've extracted from our wash. It evaporated, went through the still, condensed, and then we collected it down here.
Of course.
So, yeah.
Yep.
So we've got our drain hose hooked up on the bottom here. And you see the end of it right over here.
Yep.
And so what we need to do now is we need to open up this valve right here.
That's supposed to be doing that, right?
Yeah, so it's called stillage or spent wash that is flowing down the drain right now.
So this is the big rationale behind the sloped floor, obviously. The whole place functions as a drain.
Right, so, you know, you're constantly using... Yeah, that's going to be hot when it splashes.
Yeah, oh, super hot.
Yeah, right. Well, it was boiling.
It sure was.
Yeah, right. So that was a good move.
I'd take it back if I could.
Coming up...
I'm going to get this thing looking like new.
I do some actual work at the rum distillery while boss man Brent supervises.
We've gone from safety first to safety third to safety is a factor.
Safety is a factor.
And later, I get a close-up look at some Thomas II rum.
It burns!
It's a barrel of fun out of the rum factory.
Now, that's called a bunghole. Sorry.
It's a bunghole. It is a bunghole. This is the bung, and that is the bunghole.
Yeah. So, to be clear, I mean, all of this...
Yeah.
This whole process was designed to do nothing but get three of those containers out.
Yeah, to extract those three containers, yeah.
This was 105 gallons?
105 gallons, yeah.
And that's what?
That's about 15 gallons.
So basically, 105 gets you 15, so
yeah.
You're at a, 8-to-1 ratio, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. We got the bulk of the material out of there now.
Okay.
Now, what this machine has installed to is what's called a clean-in-place unit. So that's a spray ball right there, and we have spray balls all up in here. That's what this thing is on the right-hand side here. So what we're going to do now is we're going to send cold water throughout the entire still. So it's rinsing out. We've got water that's draining down in the hose. You can see behind you where we drain the molasses.
Yep.
We're cooling the column down because we are going to do a second distillation. All right, so we are cooled down and rinsed there and close the valve. Other way.
Oh, jeez.
So what we're going to do here is we're going to set you up with some glasses and some gloves.
Good.
Because, safety's a factor when you're dealing with...
Safety's a factor.
When you're dealing with chemicals.
We've gone from safety first to safety third to safety is a factor.
Safety is a factor. It is a factor.
Why lavender?
Because it makes it a little colorful in here, Try to add a little color to the day.
All right, so you want me to get in there? That's a new one.
Yeah.
I've been in many holes. It's good.
Nice. So here's your scrubby pad.
Thank you, Mr. Scrubby.
And we're coming over the top here.
Yeah. We went over the top a long time ago, Brent.
Yeah, I'm sure we did.
Long time.
So yeah, scrub away, my man.
So dripping on your skin, no big deal?
It's not a huge problem, but you just want to avoid it when you can. We're going to rinse off when you get out.
All right. That's a tricky move right there. A little backward. You want me to wash the ball, too?
That'd be great.
I'm going to get this thing looking like new. Check out that pipe.
Beautiful.
Right?
That is beautiful. That is exactly how you do it. We've done a good job there, and we can move on to the next step here.
Does that mean getting out soon?
Yeah, that means getting out right now. That's another way to get out of there.
That's a bad angle. I'll have to leave another way.
I suggest the way you went in.
Okay.
Perfect. Right, get all the skin that's exposed.
Now, a citric acid solution is run through the copper still to get the insides sparkly clean.
You just do what you have to with those gloves. I'll take care of this.
Yeah, I'm working on it. Oh, yeah, so you're going to want to make that sealed there because it's gas there.
No.
You were too busy teasing me about my gloves.
I was.
Pay attention to what's going on there.
Well, I didn't really know, in fairness, that there was a seal issue.
Yeah, here we go. So it's centered up there, and you should be ready to go.
Okay.
After about 4 or 5 minutes,
right,
you'll notice that the copper gets a lot brighter, and that's indicative of you're cleaning off that copper and making it more reactive.
Anybody get credit for inventing the still?
I don't think so. I mean, the one thing about, making alcohol, whether it's brewing or distilling or, winemaking, is that they've been doing it for literally thousands of years. It may not be the oldest profession, but it might be the second oldest.
It's up there.
And check that out, my man.
Holy smokes, look at that. Clean as a penny.
Exactly.
In the 16th century, European navies shipped out with water and beer as liquid rations. LG spoiled the water and beer soured, so vessels in the Caribbean substituted a local liquid called Kill Devil. This byproduct of sugarcane became rum and an official ration on British Navy ships in 1655.
Now it's time to take the 3 cylinders of distillant that we collected earlier and pour it into our squeaky clean still, along with the distillant from several other batches done on previous days. And we'll distill all this liquid a second time, boosting the alcohol content and removing any impurities.
Well, thank you.
No, thank you.
No, it's nothing really. No, it's an honor.
All right, so we're going to close this door up, and let's open the steam.
Here comes the steam.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah. So any second, this is going to start.
Right, like that second.
Like that second.
Perfect.
Is a good one.
In this second distillation, this is where we're going to make the selection of the spirit that we're going to keep. There's three components. There's your heads, your hearts, and your tails. Your heads are the first stuff that come off the still. The hearts are the second stuff, and the tails are the last. The hearts are the only part of the distillation that we're going to be keeping.
So the first liquid that comes out of the still is the heads. It contains impurities that'll boil off in about 20 to 30 minutes. To figure out when those impurities are gone, we take a sample every couple minutes.
So what we're going to do is just take one of those glasses and just collect a little bit there.
More?
No, yeah, grab more. All right, now just set that up on here. So that's our first sample.
7 minutes later.
That's great.
We take another sample. And 7 minutes after that.
So let's take our last sample here.
Yep.
So you can pull that off. When you're testing a spirit, if it has too much of these aldehydes in it, it'll actually make your eye tear. So when I'm testing it, I'll stick my eye right in there and keep it open and see if it actually tears up.
It's the stuff that makes you blind, right?
Yeah. It's not going to hurt you.
In pure form, aldehydes can be harmful to humans, but here they're so diluted, they're not dangerous.
Are you feeling a little bit on your eyeball?
Yeah, it's annoying.
Yeah, it's annoying. So that's got too much head. That's got too much head in it.
Too much head.
Aldehydes smell a little like green apples. And if there's too much in the rum, they can ruin the rum's flavor.
Oh, I got even more.
You got any more there?
Maybe that eye's more sensitive. I can't tell. I can't see out of this one anymore.
It's still in there. It's still in there.
Yeah, still in there.
Wow. Third one. Oh, yeah.
Oh, clearly.
Yeah. Here.
Absolutely. It burns. It burns.
So we waited 12 more minutes. Then we collected yet another sample. And after careful eye testing and taste testing, Brent delivered his professional judgment.
That one's actually pretty good. So we're going to dump one of these, and we're going to turn the still up, and we're going to start collecting our hearts. So that's going to run for the next couple hours.
Oh.
And we're going to be collecting our distillate.
In a couple hours.
For a couple hours.
But we won't be standing around just watching the rum drip. There's still some important work to do in the barrel department.
All right, so these are all the barrels that
beautiful
that are all aging right here. They're all numbered.
Uh-huh.
And actually, in this book right here, we have all the records of when we made each of them, when we did all the distillations for them. What we have to do today is there's three barrels.
Why are they abbreviated BBL?
That's just an abbreviation for barrel.
Why? There's only one B.
Right.
Like, why not put an R? Like BRL or BRR? Or...
I didn't create the convention, so I'm just following. I'm just a sheep. I'm just following the others. Just a sheep.
Wow. That's all right. I applaud your candor.
Right, yeah, you know, yeah. I ain't going to lie to you.
No, I mean, I know less than you, and that's sad for both of us.
Yeah, it is, I guess. Right.
BBL. All right, yeah, okay.
All right, so that's it. So we've got barrel number 28 to test. We've got barrel number 65, and we got barrel number 49.
Why do you wish to test those?
Because those are three that we identified with previous tests that might actually be ready for packaging.
Each of these barrels contains 50 gallons of rum.
If you're going to do that, I'm going to watch you. You
going to come join me?
Yeah. There's no chance of this whole routine falling down, right?
Right, there's a chance of everything, right?
Yeah, all right.
All right, so what I do is I slowly put the wine thief in.
Uh-huh.
And if you put it in too fast, you tend to just get the spirit from the bottom of the barrel.
During the aging process, the alcohol in the rum interacts with the wood in the oak barrels, imparting flavors to the rum. Different levels of alcohol impart different flavors, so Brent has determined their rum gets the best flavors at 54% alcohol.
Now that's called a bunghole, as I remember.
It is a bunghole. It is a bunghole. This is the bung, and that is the bunghole.
Yeah.
the Bungholio. What we're doing right here is we have six samples, two samples of three different barrels.
Yes.
And what we're going to be doing is tasting each one of them and determining the flavors that we taste inside each of the rums, as well as whether or not any of them are fit to be packaged. The way this process starts for a distiller is you start with the aromas, and that's actually one of the reasons why these glasses are designed the way they are, because this bulb here allows the aromas to build up inside, and so when you smell the rum, you pick up more of the aromatic characteristics that come out of it. One of the things a lot of people don't realize is when you're smelling spirits, it's always good to have your mouth open.
Yeah. It's hard to breathe with your mouth open.
Because your mouth is part of your smell, you know, because taste is integrated with it.
Right.
So what do you think you're smelling in there?
Rum.
Rum.
This is rum, man.
Yeah. Anything more specific?
Vanilla.
Exactly.
I smell vanilla in here.
One of the compounds in oak that actually gets converted in the toasting process is called lignin, and it converts into a chemical compound called vanillin. And that's why a lot of these spirits have vanilla characteristics to them.
Yeah.
So now we're going to taste these.
That tastes pretty good to me. Do we have much to do after this, by the way?
Mm-hmm. 49 needs a little more time. The butter has subsided, but it needs more spice and more caramel. 65, still quite buttery, you know, and young. For barrel number 28, we had significant amount of caramel flavor, good amount of vanilla and spice. It was well-rounded and ready to go.
Coming up, I find the job of bottling rum really does suck. When you're the only guy who takes the job seriously.
I know who cares. You. You're the guy who cares. Right? Right? Am I right?
I'm the guy who cares.
Yeah, he's the guy. All right. So what's happening is there's barrel 28.
Yep.
The barrel that we selected.
Right.
And they're siphoning it off into this holding tank. And then they're pumping it through the filter. And then over to these drums.
Right this way.
Coming at you, Adam. Okay.
During the aging process, the percentage of alcohol in the rum can change. So the first thing we do is suck a sample out of this new batch and test the alcohol level.
Right there to 500, almost.
Yeah. Well, it's floating, so.
Is that good?
That's good.
Okay.
Okay, that's
right on the fat part of the sea. So that's about 58?
Yeah, it's 58. Right there in the middle part of the sea. Now, the other thing we got to factor in there, though, is the temperature difference.
Is that right?
That's correct. And so that these hydrometers come equipped with a little thermometer in there and a little scale to correct that with. If you take a look right here, there, well, on the left side is actual temperature in degrees Celsius.
Mm-hmm.
And on the right side is the numbers that you'll have to correct the percentage by.
Cool. This process, like so many others I've done, sounded pretty simple when we started. But now that we're actually doing the job, once again, things get complicated.
So that's good. That's
did you get that? We're determining the alcohol content in this barrel of rum based on two things. The first is a reading that you get on the hydrometer.
Or alcoholometer.
Or the alcoholometer, if you prefer a made-up word.
And, it's on the side of the thing.
Doesn't mean it's not made up. Somebody somewhere is laughing their butt off.
Somebody made something, huh?
And then you account for the temperature of the liquid in your test... Test.
Test tube? Well, our graduated cylinder.
That graduated cylinder. And then you make an adjustment based on some magical scale on sort of the thing.
Not really magical, but when you're dealing with alcohol, it's magical.
It's this whole day has been a vanishing act.
Yeah.
It's gone before you know
it. So that number was 57. Let's remember that.
I got it.
You got
just
57.
Like the ketchup.
Just like the ketchup?
57 varieties.
Man. Oh, yeah. Heinz 57.
So this rum is 57% alcohol, a little too strong for Thomas 2, a rum designed to be slowly sipped, unmixed. So we'll be diluting the rum in these two barrels to 42% alcohol, a level that perfectly balances the heat of the alcohol with the flavor of the rum. How much water do we add? Well, that takes a little math.
Where do you do your math?
Do the math over here on the laptop.
So 22 and a half at 57.
Right.
At 42%, that's 30 and a half gallons.
So one gets 8 gallons, the other gets 11 and a quarter?
Or 10 and a quarter? Negative, 8.75.
Crap, what?
Yeah, sorry, man. That is precisely correct.
You know what? I'd be much more impressed with this if the number's 8 and 8.75 appeared.
Right, well, actually, the 8.75 we don't really care about because those barrels are marked in total volume. So the number we really care about is this 33.25 because we're going to fill it up to the 33.25.
So who cares about the 8 cent? You're just going to put it in there until it says 33.25.
Right. I know who cares. You're the guy who cares. Right? Am I right?
I'm the guy who cares.
Hey, he's the guy.
I'm right. The guy.
Who cares? That guy.
This guy cares.
I care.
We want to go up to
right about there. And you want to use your filtered water, no doubt.
Exactly. Ready?
Ready.
Okay, it's coming.
Really close. I'd stop, in fact. Whoa. Big change.
Big change.
Big change.
Hopefully not too big.
I'd say 44.
Okay. And
if you check your temperature there you go, too.
Perfect. So boom. That's that one.
The alcohol level of the rum in the mixing barrels is now exactly 42%, just the right strength for sipping. Now it's time to bottle the rum.
So this looks like the kind of apparatus that would allow an enterprising batch of guys to fill 6 bottles at once.
Exactly.
As usual, we use only the most advanced scientific equipment to get the flow of the rum going into the fancy bottling machines. Delicious. Every year, Newport Distilling produces 24,000 bottles of Thomas II rum. And every batch they make sells out before you can say, Thomas II. It's only sold in the state of Rhode Island. So if you want a taste of these exclusive spirits, you need to sail your pirate ship to Newport.
All right, so people have to know that their bottle of rum hasn't been opened. So
yes.
You got to seal it somehow.
Need a seal.
So we have our fancy-dancy deep fryer that we melt wax in. Be careful, the wax is hot.
It's not a disaster, but it's not perfect.
Each one of them is unique.
That's right.
Right, like snowflakes. We're making snowflakes here.
You'll need to see us put all these in all of the boxes and do all that, but this is a pretty nice way to say goodbye, I think.
Yeah.
Really fun, Brent. Thank you, Adam.
Yeah.
Derek,
nice to meet you.
Much obliged. We'll see you all in the tasting room.
Excellent.
What do I have to do to make it perfectly and abundantly clear that we are running out of ideas for dirty jobs? I mean, as you know, I'm not beyond begging, so here I am again on my knees begging you to go to discovery.com/dirty jobs. Give me an idea for my next dirty, filthy, disgusting adventure. I'll be eternally grateful and, better yet, gainfully employed. True or false, George Washington, father of our country, was a teetotaler.
False. Oh, false.
You mean whiskey?
He is all about his stuff.
Right. I'm going to go with that guy.
False.
False?
Yeah.
False.
Whiskey man.
The answer is false. Not only did George Washington drink, but he, along with Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, enjoyed brewing and distilling their own alcoholic beverage. The colonial army supplied its troops with a daily ration of 4 ounces of either rum or whiskey every day.
4 ounces?
And I believe more beer.